Well, many people today are not confident as to what they believe about the return of Jesus. We can't know everything about the future. But if God tells us certain things about the future, then those are areas where we can be sure. And Jesus was not silent on his own return. And this morning we're starting a short series of 3 sermons looking at the future. And today we think about the return of Jesus. Our sermons here normally focus on one Bible passage. When we look at a theme, we need to go to several Bible passages. So on the back of the service sheet, there is an outline to help us. Some of the passages there we will turn to together. Others I will mention without turning them up. And others I won't even get a mention, but you can look at them later if you would like to. Let's start, though, at the very beginning. Jesus will come again. Jesus will come again. He taught this consistently. The night before he died, his disciples were upset that he would be leaving them. And so he says in John 14, verse 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself." He could not be clearer. I will come again. When the Apostle Paul wrote in his letters, he always wrote with the authority of Jesus. But sometimes he flags up that he's saying something that Jesus himself said. And one of those places is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where in verse 15 he explains that what he now says is because of a word from the Lord Jesus himself. And then comes verse 16. "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God." Paul says that Jesus said that he himself would descend from heaven. He didn't just say that one day his ideas would have a bit of a comeback. Jesus himself will return to this earth in person. When that happens, it will be unlike anything we've ever experienced. And we mustn't guess and speculate as to what it will be like. But I want to show us 4 things the Bible does say about how this will happen. First, he will return bodily. It will be a bodily return. Maybe this is obvious to you. It's not obvious to everyone. Jesus was raised with a real human body. He didn't come alive again as a spirit or a ghost. I think it's time to turn to a Bible passage. Luke 24. I need to get one of the same Bibles you've got. Luke 24. And I'm going to read from verse 38, page 575. Luke 24, verse 38. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. That's American. It means grilled. So if when you get to glory you see broiled fish on the menu, you're going to be served grilled fish. He took it and he ate before them. They are shocked and stunned to see him back. They think they've seen a ghost. So to prove he's not a ghost, he's a real person with a real body, he eats a piece of fish. Later, Jesus ascended to heaven. That's recorded in Luke's second volume, Acts, Luke volume 2. His disciples watch him physically rise up into the sky. They stand there, jaws open. And then an angel arrives to ask them what they're doing. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. One day Jesus will reverse the journey he has just taken. And he'll do so in the same way. It won't be some other Jesus that comes back. So, Jesus has a body today. Jesus taught that he would come back, which means he must come back bodily. Second, he will return in glory. It will be a glorious return. When Jesus came the first time, lots of people did not recognize him. At the first Christmas, he looked like any other baby. In his adult life, many didn't see him as anyone special. I wonder if you know the Where's Wally cartoons. You get a drawing of a crowded scene, people everywhere, and one of those people is Wally with his red and white striped jumper, and you have to find him. Now picture one of the crowded religious festivals that Jesus went to when he was here the first time. Surging crowds. One of those is the eternal Son of God. Only it's even harder. He wasn't wearing a distinctive red and white sweater. When Jesus comes back, things will be very different indeed. In Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory." Or there's the glorious description of the ascended Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. Verse 14, the hairs of his head were like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When Jesus comes back, nobody will miss it. If you look away at just the wrong moment, you don't miss out. Nobody will be in any doubt who this is. Nobody will sleep through their alarm and gone past them. Here is God the Son, fully human, gloriously divine, radiant, shining, glorious, and, as we've sung, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. A sight like that leaves you no option. He will return in glory. Then third, he will return unexpectedly. It will be an unexpected return. Let's turn to this one. Matthew chapter 24. Page 538. And I will read from verse 36. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is quite clear. Nobody knows the date of his return, not even he did. Christmas Day is wonderfully predictable. December the 25th, every year. It's even better than Easter. It always creeps up on you, but theoretically, there is time to buy food and presents and then travel to where you will spend Christmas. You can get ready. Jesus says his return will be like Noah's flood. People will get up and go about their morning routine, have breakfast and go to work. He even says it will interrupt somebody's wedding. If any of you know any reason in law why these persons may not be married together, you are to declare it now. And then the answer comes. Jesus will come back, and it'll be the last thing that anybody expected. He will return unexpectedly. And fourth, he will return as judge. So if you've still got Matthew 24 open, look over the page to chapter 25. Here's what happens when he returns unexpectedly. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He will return as judge. Now we need to be clear, this is good news. It means we live in a world where every injustice will one day be set straight. And he will judge the living and the dead. That's what the old creeds say. And it's what Jesus said in John chapter 5. We heard it read. He says that all those who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out to face judgment. Those who are alive at the time will be judged by Jesus. Those who have died will hear his voice waking them from sleep, and they will come alive again so that they can be judged. He will return as judge. All this, remember, from the Lord's own words. This is what Jesus said would happen. So Jesus will come back. He will come back bodily, in glory, unexpectedly, as our judge. We might be tempted to doubt that this will really happen. Acts 17, the other reading we had, records the Apostle Paul preaching in Athens. He tells them that God has put the date in his diary. Judgment Day will take place on such and such a date. He's appointed the man who will be the judge. And the proof of all of this is that he's already raised Jesus from the dead. The idea of a judgment, a reckoning at the end of our lives, fills most of us with horror. We can all think of things we wouldn't want Jesus to look at too closely. So here's what we have to remember, that Jesus' return will not be his first visit to earth. We're talking about his coming again. On the sheet, I've put references from John chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 9. Both those passages explicitly mention the fact that Jesus came the first time to save us, and he will come again as our judge. And both those passages make clear that his first coming allows us to be ready for him when we meet him as our judge at his final coming. Let's look together at the Hebrews one. We haven't got time to look at them both. So Hebrews 9. I read a short bit from that chapter earlier in the service. Hebrews 9, page 651. Verses 26 to 28. Let me read halfway through verse 26. But as it is, Jesus has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. His first coming was to bear sin. He took away our sin by sacrificing himself. He did this once for all time. Anyone who trusts him can have their sins forgiven. At the end of our lives, the next thing we encounter is Judgment Day. The big question then is whether Jesus has already dealt with and taken away our sin, or will we turn up for Judgment Day unforgiven and pay for our sin ourselves? Jesus comes twice. His first coming took away the sin of all who trust him, so that we can be ready to meet him as judge when he comes again. Let's think about the implications of this for us before we close. Each and every one of us will meet Jesus as judge. Some of us will die first, and he'll raise us to life for the occasion. Others of us may still be alive when it happens, but every man, woman, and child will meet him one day. We cannot know when this will happen. Jesus warned that it would happen when we least expect it. Someone I know recently had a baby by planned caesarean. They said that for all the drawbacks, and there are quite a few, one benefit is that it's in the diary. You know the day your baby will come. Nobody has that luxury with Judgment Day. We cannot schedule it on a day that suits us. None of us knows the day we will die. None of us knows the day that Jesus will return. So we cannot know when we will meet Jesus as judge. But that does not mean we cannot prepare for the event. We can. Jesus came the first time to do all that is necessary for us to be fully prepared to meet him as our judge. He died on the cross to rescue us. If we'll turn to him, if we'll say yes to his rescue, we can be sure today what the verdict will be. Not guilty. Some people think there's no need to get ready for Jesus to come back. Wing it on the day. But that's foolish in the extreme. This is not a maths GCSE. This is an exam you cannot hope to fluke. Hope the right questions come up. Turning to Jesus now is the only way to be ready. Some people think there's no great urgency to be ready. Leave it to the last minute. But that's no use. We don't know when the last minute will be. It's a matter of great urgency. Dare I say, it's more urgent than preparing for Christmas. Christmas is in 17 days' time. We have no idea how long we've got until we meet Jesus as our judge, and it could happen before Christmas. As well as something we must be ready for, Jesus' return is something we should look forward to. Remember Hebrews 9? Said he comes back to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the day when all wrongs will be put right. This is when God's wonderful future begins. Something we'll think about in 2 weeks' time. And provided we're ready, the second to last sentence of the Bible should be a prayer that is on our lips and in our hearts. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.